God's working right now. The creative work. The God who worked powerfully, mightily for 6 days. He's at work right now in you and in I. He's saying we are His workmanship. He's created us in Christ Jesus for good works so that we should walk in them, do them. He says first you need to come to redemption, rescue, deliverance, salvation. He says, so now you work from that grace. You don't work for grace. You don't work for His favor. He says, now you work from it. He's at work right now in your life and in my life. Many of us in this room have the opportunity to go to work, to do a job, to earn some income, to be amongst people that may be different than you. They may not have that grace poured out yet in their heart. Have not heard that message, understood that message, or bowed to that message that many of you have. And this morning's text speaks about the importance of work. Our work. God says it's so important. He says you can honor me in your work. Your job, as hard as it is, the toils, the sweat, the inconveniences, the underappreciated, underpaid employees, God says, you can honor me every day in your job. We've been studying verse by verse through 1 Timothy, such a practical book. It was written, we see in chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, so you and I might know how to behave as Christians in the body of Christ, but also in life. And today, as we look at this text, we're reminded that Paul is writing to a young man he mentored, Timothy, who's now one of the elders, one of the pastors in the church at Ephesus. We're reminded also that Paul helped plant that church in Ephesus, spent 3 years there, wrote a letter to the church at Ephesus, the Ephesian letter that you and I may be familiar with. He speaks about work in that letter as well. And we'll see that in the text this morning as I walk through our text. We're going to look a little bit at Timothy, a little bit at the letter of Ephesians to see how God feels about our job and our work. A few years ago, I read a story of a man who, like many of us men, envisioned himself becoming a hero. This guy actually only embarrassed himself. He was on a tour bus following another tour bus when it slid off a snowy and icy road into a marshy area and it landed on its side. He quickly jumped out of his bus, jumped onto the top of the other bus, which was now on its side. And as he began to look and see, there was window shattered. There were cries from inside. People were obviously injured. And so he grabbed the emergency door, the handle. He turned it and he just pulled it. And he pulled and he pulled and it wouldn't budge. He noticed that this time others had come out of his bus and they began to pull people out through the windows. And so he just jumped down and helped them. And while he jumped down, another man jumped up where he was. He turned that handle and he opened up the door with ease. It was then that he realized the very door that he was trying to open, the very people he was trying to rescue, the very door that he was pulling on that handle, he was actually standing on the door. And that's why, as he pulled, the door wouldn't budge. He had hindered his opportunity. Do you know? Many of us may not realize that in our jobs, we have a desire. There's a passion in us. God's put it in there to see our coworkers who may not know Christ yet, to know Him, to meet Him. And we want to be used of God to share that good news. And we, just like that man, could be the very obstacles that hinder them from grasping and seeing the gospel, because we're doing some things in an incorrect way. So let's take a look at the scripture today and realize that our work matters to God. We're going to learn how to honor God on our jobs. I'm going to read the text both from 1 Timothy, the first two verses of chapter 6, we're coming down the home stretch of this book. Pastor Kevin will be leading in the next 3 weeks, closing out 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm just going to handle these two verses this morning and also bring in some verses from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. Let all who are under a yoke as bondservants regard their own masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and the teaching may not be reviled. Those who have believing masters must not be disrespectful on the ground that they are brothers. Rather, they must serve all the better, since those who benefit by their good service are believers and beloved. Teach and urge these things. And now Ephesians 6, verse 5. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. Not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free. So how do we honor God in our jobs? Number one, fill it in if you like. We need to be respectful all the time, as we would be to Christ. We need to be respectful when? All the time, as we would be to Christ. Verse 1, let all who are under a yoke as bondservants do what? Get out. Revolt. Lead an uprising. No, that's not what God's Word says. It's not what's taught in Scripture. Was it good? The system of bondservant in that era, in that political and economic climate? No. But you know, it would shift, it would change. Can I share with you that there's three different aspects, there's different three different examples in the Scripture of servanthood, of slavery. The one you and I might be familiar with in watching the movie The Ten Commandments or reading the Bible. And we see there, under Pharaoh, the Hebrews became slaves. Number of hundreds of years after Joseph, and he was given favor by Pharaoh. Well, there became a Pharaoh who didn't know Joseph, was intimidated, frightened by these Hebrews, and put them under as slaves. And it was horrific work. Go ahead, make some bricks without straw. And so there was just a subjugation of those folks. Secondly, there's also in the Bible pictures of those who are servants, household servants, poor, maybe having a room off to the house or another place on the property, maybe with not much chance to ever gain freedom. And then there's the word bondservant, which speaks of one, and especially in this Roman culture, Roman Empire, where scholars would say up to 60% of the people living in that time in the cities and the towns were bondservants. The Roman Empire was mighty, vast, conquered, and they took the most educated, the most skilled, and they took those folks and brought them into their homes and said, you will now serve as bondservants in our home. You'll earn an income, you'll get your meals, you can even buy your freedom. And so they served in that community. And in this day, in Asia Minor, which was part of the Roman Empire, and in the church that Paul is writing to, where Timothy served, many of the people in that local church were bondservants. So here it is, on the first day of the week, they're worshiping God, serving God. And here, Paul would say to Timothy, teach the people. Help them understand how to go about their work, their job, in a way that honors God. And so for you and I today, as we look at this text, I want us to look, and some of you might say, well, it's not very far off, John. I'm treated like a slave at my work, and I'm sorry for that. But God says, even in the midst of that, if you feel that way, God says, something inside of you, if I'm inside of you, and if you grab my principles, and by my strength, live them out to honor me, I'll give you peace. I'll give you help in the midst of that difficult job situation. And so he says, let all who are under a yoke as bondservants regard their own masters as worthy of all honor. honor. So the principle of how to be on the job is the same as what we're about to live this morning or to learn this morning. Give all honor to your boss. Regard means to take the initiative, to reflect, to think hard about how to give them honor and respect. You might say, well, they don't deserve it. The scripture doesn't ask us that. The whole, in the Bible, it teaches us how to interact with each other. And we've learned that many times we want to say, well, if you deserve it, then I'll do it. God says, I want you to do certain things, whether the person deserves it or not. He speaks of the family. Children, how do you respond to your parents? Husbands, how do you respond to your wives? Wives, to your husbands. And here he says, in your job, I want you, God says, to give honor to your boss, whether they deserve it or not. All honor is to be given to them. And that word regard means we need to think about, how can I do it? How can I do it to a boss? Maybe you got a good boss. Maybe they treat you as an employee and the rest fairly. You're appreciated. And other times, maybe not. So, it's not because they deserve it. What does it say in the rest of the scripture? So that the name of God and the teaching may not be reviled. God says, that's my purpose. If they know you're a believer, and hopefully they do, if you are a believer, if you're a Christian, meaning you've understood the gospel, you've been convicted, you've turned to Christ, you know, he was knocking on the door of your heart, you know you walk with him, you just walk in his grace and his mercy as we've sung about today, that's key to your life. He's saying, then there's something about who you are that is on the spotlight, or is a spotlight, that is a light. And he says, and there's the way you act, the way you process your work, the way you treat others. God's assuming for you and I, Christian, that it comes out of the principles and the teachings and the commands of his word. He says, so I don't want to be reviled. I don't want my word to be reviled. And he says, so how you act at work, how you respect your boss, is either going to lift up and show that maybe the word of God, the very person of God whom you claim is yours, ought to be examined, ought to be looked at, because look at how this person does their job. Versus, if we don't honor, we are the ones who are giving opportunity for God's word to be mocked and to be reviled, because we're not living out the very character of Christ, not letting him live out in and through us his character, how he walked this earth, how he responded to those who had authority over him. Titus chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. You don't have that in your program. You might see it up here on the wall. Paul, again, writing to Titus, says, teach servants to be yielded to their masters in everything, to try to please them, not to talk back to them, and not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God, our Savior, attractive. So the scripture says you and I have that opportunity of living this way. And the first is to be respectful in all things. That would make the gospel, the good news of Christ and what he does in a life, attractive. Verse 2, going back to Timothy. Those who have believing masters must not be disrespectful on the ground that they are brothers. So you have a boss. They're a believer. They're a Christian. Maybe you're looking for a job, and you're looking for a job where there's a Christian who owns the company or who's a manager in the company. You say, I want to work under them. God says, well, that's good. But now don't be disrespectful because you're a believer. Don't look to take advantage of that opportunity and say, all right, I'm here, so what's the easy work? You know, you're going to give that to me, right, bro? Don't look for special privileges. Hey, we're going to, you know, have Bible study at 11 o'clock. Don't look to over the water cooler or outside of or when you're supposed to be working. Look to share your faith. Have discussions on theology when you're getting paid to do a job. God's saying, don't do that. That's disrespectful. Don't disrespect that person simply because they're a believer. So don't take advantage of them. Bond servants, verse 5 of Ephesians 5, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling. God saying to us, there's no better way to show honor than to do what we're told. To do it every time, do it on time, without complaining, and to do it with a heart for excellence. Do it the best you know how, and if you don't know how to do it, learn how to do it with excellence for God's sake. No slacking off. No looking to see what I can't do or what I can get away with not doing. Notice this, with a sincere heart as you would Christ. There's no better way to live out the plan that God has for your life in your work, in our jobs, than to take them seriously. To show respect, to work hard for our employer, as if we were working for Christ. That's our representation of Christ. You may not even share the verses of Scripture that speak about how someone can know Christ, but you can be attractive. You can show Christ by how you go about your job, with how you respect your employer. Number two, we need to be responsible with our time on the job for the Lord's sake. We need to be responsible with our time on the job for the Lord's sake. Rather, they must serve all the better, since those who benefit by their good service are believers and beloved. So here in that same principle, if you happen to be in a company where it's Christian owned, or your boss is at least a believer, God says, do more than the minimum. Do more than what's expected. Work harder for that boss if you could. Be thankful that you have a job. Because as you work harder and as profit rises possibly in that company because of how you do your job, who benefits? Believers. God says there's nothing wrong with that. So work hard. Look at verse 6 of Ephesians chapter 6. Not by the way of eye service as people pleasers. In other words, don't try to get away with the minimum. Work is work. By its nature, it's hard. We ought to be not playing the game of trying to do the least amount possible while collecting a paycheck. At this time of year, going back to when I was 10 years old, I'd get ready to try out for the football team. It's Pee Wee League, then it turned into school, middle school, junior high school, on to college, spent a few years in the pro. No, I didn't. 2 years through college. Just a hero. I envisioned myself doing that. But it was amazing, and I thank my dad for this, because he taught a work ethic that, you know, you just go at it, you do it, you do all you're supposed to do, you do it excellently, you don't take any shortcuts. But when we were doing push-ups, and the coach was counting them out, it's amazing, he'd walk in between the rows, up, down, you know, as we're doing them, when he's turning this way, a lot of the kids on this side would just lay on the ground. They'd see him look and be go up, down. They'd get up. And then all of a sudden, those kids, they just laid on their belly until he looked back. And that just happened throughout. It didn't happen in college because there were many more coaches, assistant coaches, and they were wise onto that stuff. And I think maybe the students or the athletes were much more driven. But God's saying, don't take that mentality into the job. There's something about work ethic today where that's missing. So we look at it, I got to go to work. God says, got to go. God says, that's part of my plan for you. God says, you know, I'm faithful to you and I have a promise to you. I want to feed you. I want to put a roof over your head. I want to put food in your belly, clothes in your back. And you know how I do that? Work. Work. He says, so you go at your work realizing it's me providing for you in a faithful way. So don't do it to just please the boss. Because if that's our motive, there's a lot of times where our boss's attitude or what he asks us to do, we're not really pleased by that. So he says, let your motivation not to look to please them. Let it be to look to please me. And then you'll be doing the will of God from the heart. You see, and that's why it's so important to have Christ reign in our heart. Whether it's the beginning of that day, whether it's early on in that day, whether it's the night before, to dwell and meditate and think on the hours that God may give you that day or the following day. God, I want to please you. Reign in my heart. Have first place in my heart. So that as I go about my job, it is you who is strengthening me. It is your perspective I will see. And that your word and the name that I bear, Christ in me as a Christian, will not be reviled and mocked because of me. It may be reviled and mocked, but not because of you, because somebody has a hardened heart towards God. Bible teaches us that. But let it not be reviled and mocked because you and I don't have Christ reigning in our heart, giving him first place in our heart. He says, if you allow me, then watch what I'll remind you. I will take this word, the things we're learning this morning, and by my spirit, I will remind you of how to honor me in your job, because your job is important to me. That's how I am providing for you. Verse 7, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not a man. So as you and I go about our jobs with an attitude of respect for our boss, and we do it with wholehearted devotion to get the job done with excellence, we won't need to be reminded. We won't need to be compelled or prodded or threatened to come in on time, to put away our cell phones, to stop surfing the web. We won't need that reminder. We're saying, I know what's stealing. That is stealing time from my boss. So I'm going to be there 5 minutes early. I'm going to stay 5 minutes late. I'm going to go on my break and be back from my break. And I'm going to do my job with diligence unto the Lord. God says, would you do that? Would you do that for me? It's my will for you. You've been fulfilling the will. And the people say, John, what's God's will? What's God's will? You have a job? Yeah. Honor him in that job. Somebody asked Martin Luther once. He was a shoemaker. This man who came to him and said, you know, how do I please God? How do I honor God? And Luther asked him, what do you do? He says, I make shoes. So he said, then make the best shoes in the town and sell them at the fairest price. He didn't say, go off and be a preacher. He said, where you are right now, do the best you can unto God. That is fulfilling the will of God. That is a testimony of what God does in a life. Not looking around at what others are doing in the next cubicle, on that assembly line, in that office. God saying, no, look to me. I'll help you. I'll lead you. And then number 3, we need to sometime look to be rewarded in due time by the Lord. You may not get that reward here on this earth. You may be underpaid, underappreciated, undervalued in your job. But you want to know something? God is watching. He sees how you're going about your job. And he says, you know what? I know your heart. I see what you're doing. And you're doing it for me. You're doing it to honor me. So that my testimony, my name of who you are, in me in you, won't be reviled. I'm going to reward you. I'm wondering if many of us who are looking for that promotion are wondering why we're not heard or ideas are not accepted in the job could very well be our own attitude at work. Not coming with a servant's heart, a humble heart, a Christ-like heart, but a know-it-all heart. Hey, I'm better than this job. And maybe God's saying, you're not getting ahead because I'm holding you down. Not your boss. I'm holding you down. Because who you are and who you are becoming in Christ, God's saying, is much more important to me than what you do in a vocation. What we do may be much more important to others around us. We look at those things, but God says, It's your heart. It's your character. That is so much more important to me. And God says, it's your job. That's one of the tools where I'm doing my work, my workmanship of creating in you a character, a Christ-like character. And so I'm going to hold you down until you let me do that work. So fight me, and good luck with that. Because God says, you know what He says to the prideful? I resist you. Ouch. That's scary to me. I have felt that resistance. That's not good. That pressing in, that pressing down, and wondering, oh God. And He'll show me my pride, my self-righteousness, my lack of servant heart, my lack of compassion, my lack of Christ-likeness. And He'll show me where I've gone amiss, where I've quenched His Spirit, where I'm just going through the motions. I'll exhale. I'll say, thank you for your grace and your mercy that I still have a job. Boy, if folks of Open Arms knew how I've been going about this job, I may not have one. So, Lord, make sure they never find out that I have those lazy moments or slothful moments. But then He shows and He says, humility, acknowledgement, bowing, being thankful. He says, I'll lift you up in due time. He may lift you up in your job in due time. Give Him His time to do what He wants to do. Verse 7, rendering service with a good will is to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free. So whether you're under that yoke of being in a difficult job or you're free, maybe you're not working, or maybe you're their employer, don't give up working your job this way, God's way. Do it because it's right. And in the end, whether in this life or the next, God says, I'm going to reward you. I will reward you. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned, God said to Adam, cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. You notice that? You rebelled. You know what Adam was doing before that? With Eve as his co-regent. They were tending to the whole earth. And you know what he never experienced? A drop of sweat. And yet he did it. And now God says, now I'm calling you to do it. And it's going to be hard. And through the sweat of your brow, it will be toilsome. And you'll go to bed at night exhausted, but at least saying, oh, I accomplished a good day's work. And you're going to wake up in the morning, and there the weeds are going to be, and the thorns are going to grow back. And you're going to go, whoa, God says, that's part of my plan. That's part of the curse of rebellion. And it is to this day. But if you and I are in Christ, He says, behold, all things have become new. You still will have a job. It will still be hard. It will still be toilsome. And it must not be, it cannot be, that which you live for. Because every day, there'll be that grind. But if you live for me, in the midst of the grind, I will empower you. I will help you to live that job. And I will provide for you. Because right here, you will eat of that ground. If you work that ground, I will provide for you. Even in the midst of the curse, even in the midst of God's us receiving the consequence due us, God says, I'm still going to provide for you. So God made work. Even good work is hard. At times, there's joy in work. There's great satisfaction, triumph, success. In work, that's good. We can have those seasons, those moments. But at times, our work can be thankless. It can be a never-ending cycle of unappreciation, again, of being underpaid. We can have bosses, employees who are unfair. You know, God allows that. And He's compelling us to turn to Him. And that's what He wanted for Adam. That's what He wanted for Eve, even in the midst of her pain. in childbirth and being under her husband, though her desire would be, oh, I want to be co-regent. Oh, I want that. God says no. And he's going to rule over you. And at times that means he's not going to treat you the way you deserve and respect as one who's created in my image. But God says in Christ, that can change. You can have a new heart, a new spirit, a new mind as you approach all of those things. So in your work, and let me tell you, for those who work in your home and tend to children and to homemaking, that is a job. And many times it's much more than 9 to 5. And it's worthy work. And God says in the midst of that, and when it gets so hard and so impossible, I'm there. Let me be your portion. Let me be your strength. Turn back to me. I created you. I created work. I can help you go through it. You know, Jesus knows something about unappreciated hard work for ungrateful people. He had to work and was at a cross. And in the preparation of that and how he handled that, how he went forward in that, was for you and I. It was for the world. And many in the world will not receive, will not grasp, will not understand, will not repent, will not bow. But if you have here today, then you have him in you and you appreciate him. You appreciate what he did for you. Because that's what you needed. It was your greatest need. Listen in 1 Peter chapter 2 as we close reflecting on these scriptures. Servants, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. Do you hear that? God says it's commendable. You are my trophies. I lift you up. In my eyes, why you're doing it, how you're doing it, it's pleasing to me. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? So in other words, you and I are slothful. We're not doing our jobs 110%. We're consistently showing up late. We're stealing time by doing other things. We're working hard when the boss is looking, but when they're not, we're doing our own thing. God says, you know, there's a sowing and reaping in this world that I've set before you. And he goes, and it may be things will be harder for you, or you may even lose your job. And God says, you have to endure that. But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called. You get that? God says there's an opportunity for you and I in a hard workplace for Christ to be seen, for us to respond, empowered by him like he responded. And he gets raised up. You become that light on a hill. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. Can any of us say that? When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. Can any of us say that? When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. And Paul, writing to Timothy, showed us what righteousness looks like on the job. And God says, you can live that way if you let me live in and through you that way. And that's why our hearts have to be devoted to him and yielded to him. And watch what he does in our heart. And thus through our hands and through our minds and through our feet, with the skills and the knowledge and the experience and the education that you have or you may not have. watch God do something in your workplace where His name and His teachings may very well become less reviled because you and I are remembering how to go about our jobs to honor God, to be respectful to our employers, to our bosses at all times, to be responsible in our time, how we do our job. And as we look to His reward, sometimes that could be remuneration. You laugh, you say that. It's not a word we use. I use it. Trip myself up, I guess. But Jesus says, He says it. I'll reward you. Sometimes it's not just money, but there's other rewards here on this earth. How about peace? How about just exhale and go, I know I serve the Lord well today. And be okay with that. Can we? Look to Him. He's our example and He's our power. Father, I just do thank You for Your word, how it speaks to us in practical ways. Whether it was 2,000 years ago in a system of bond servants and servanthood and slavery, or today. Jesus, You're the answer. You are our example. You're our power. You're our all. Would You help us? Would You find us yielded? Would You find us today even being willing to reflect back on this truth, to open up Your word, to say, God, in this job that I have, or this work that I'm looking for, or God, maybe for some of us, remember when this truth hit home for me many years ago, before I'm doing the vocational work I'm doing now, I had to go back to previous employers and ask for forgiveness because I did not honor the way You said to work. And Lord, that You might be honored in our lives and we would be fulfilling the plan that You have for us in our work, which is hard. And what You did was harder. And we needed that in the greatest of ways. So we know You will help us in our hard work. And we pray that we go out of this room yielded, reflective, thinking. And in that mind, have it be Your mind, that our thoughts would be renewed, refreshed, no longer conforming to the pattern of this world and how many people go about their work, but instead conforming to the pattern of Your way and Your wisdom. And then they're knowing that we're pleasing You and honoring You in our jobs. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.